Hello, I'm Henry.
Hi, and I'm Maureen.
And who have we got on the podcast today?
Well, I'm really excited. We have Natalie Haskell from Copperfield, a breast cancer awareness charity, and they're doing such great work. And you could tell by the name, they have put joy and glitter into something that normally is really sad to talk about.
Yeah.
But it's something that we need to all do. Copperfield and get that early diagnosis or the all clear, you know, to be aware of what's going on.
Absolutely, absolutely. And tell me, what's brought you joy at work?
Well,
joy.
Well, mine is all about joy. It's all about creating the joy because if I'm feeling good, you know you're going to get some good work out of me, Henry.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, today I'm feeling joy about my allotment because it's spring. The flowers and blooms are out. What I'm not enjoying is the hay fever, but it was so worth it just to be out and just feeling lovely out in nature. So nature's giving me joy at the moment, as well as a blocked nose. How about you, Henry?
Well, we have bought a house.
Ooh.
We have bought a house. I said earlier that we sold our house and moved to Somerset.
Yes.
We've now bought a house and it's in Hackney.
Can't believe this. Somerset. Back into Hackney,
yes. Everyone that we've talked to in Somerset says, why would you ever go back to London?
Yeah.
Oh, we definitely want to go back to London. Definitely.
Okay, what's going to happen with your cycling?
Oh, well, that's... Well, I can still go cycling. There's a few more traffic lights and a few more cars, but, you know.
Okay.
Okay.
Hi, Natalie. So, welcome to our podcast. And last time I spoke to you was when you attended to our conference as a host. So it's really fantastic to have you here today. I've just got to say, last time we met, you were having a trek. There was a trek going on and I had seen it all on BBC News.
Yes.
But this time I received an email from a group that I attend and it was all about Copperfield on there. I'm like, what's going on? Called Black Ballards, talking about breast cancer and black women.
Yes.
So you guys are really getting out of there.
Yeah, that's right. We are. Well, we've got lots of treks lined up this year and we've been working with Black Ballard for over a year or so now, largely to make sure we're reaching new audiences with our work. So a lot of the collaboration we've been doing with Black Ballard is about kind of collaboration and content creation, new ways of communicating our message, talking about breast cancer awareness and trying to educate people like yourself, subscribers to the Black Ballard platform, on the importance of getting to know your chest and checking regularly.
Okay, so you just started to touch on that. So can you tell us a bit more about Copperfield?
Yeah, of course. So in essence, our mission at Copperfield is to ensure that all breast cancers in younger people, and we define younger people as 18 to 24 year olds, are diagnosed early and correctly. So the reason that we do this work is if breast cancer is diagnosed early, then treatments can be more effective, less invasive, and survival rates are higher. We talk specifically to a younger demographic because in Copperfield's history, they have largely been underserved and underrepresented. And Copperfield was born out of our founder's story and our founder's experience of breast cancer. She herself was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 23, and she was sent away from her GP a number of times, had no idea it could affect her. And so off of the back of Chris's, our founder's experience, Copperfield was born. So the work that we do is very much around relevance, making sure that all people are aware that breast cancer is a relevant issue to them. Empowerment, so making sure that people feel empowered to take action if they do find a change. And then really helping support pathways, so making sure that people are seen and diagnosed as quickly and as effectively as possible.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent. So you've had a lot of your people go through our programmes, haven't you, Natalie?
Yes.
What has been the benefit of it?
As a team going through the programme, lots of things, really. I think the real benefit of going through the training as a team is that you have the same reference point. So not only are you benefiting from the learnings that you get through the training, but the training itself and the implementation of the training then becomes a conversation point. So the areas where we really saw this most at Copperfield were especially around things like communication. So learning about the different communication styles. Once we as a team collectively explored that, it felt very obvious. And the learnings generated from that, you could start to implement with immediate effects. So it's hugely beneficial going through that at the same time, having the same reference points as well. It was really, really helpful. And then it meant that because we were all aware of the training, you're familiar with some of the processes and how they're implemented. So when your colleagues start to do things a little bit differently, perhaps, than they ordinarily might, you're aware that, oh, okay, that was from the training. That's how they've advised that we do this now. Or they're referencing something that maybe you discussed or explored. It's shared knowledge. And I guess the other thing that it's helped with is because so many of the team have done it, it has started to create a culture. So lots of other people have started to pick up, and it's kind of, you know, people in the team are able to impart it to new starts. And it's become a way that we do things now at Copperfield, which has been fantastic.
And tell us a little bit about communication styles, because our audience might not know about them.
Yes, absolutely. In effect, the communications training that we found really useful was about, you know, working with colleagues who perhaps have different preferences when it comes to how they receive information. I think the most obvious example that I can think of within our team was the profiling around different colours. So communication styles were kind of profiled around reds, greens, yellows and blues. And we did this short survey to kind of establish what your style might be and therefore what your preferences might be. So you might be blue, you might be very analytical, you might be into numbers and detail, or perhaps you might be a yellow, very creative, very expressive, want to get caught up in a big idea, very flowery. You might be able to guess which one I am. It just helps to facilitate that conversation and understand that, you know, when your colleague is maybe asking things of you, it's not about you. It's about, you know, this is how they process information, or this is what they need to be able to make decisions. So it really helps to facilitate that kind of team working and improved communication.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I found that really useful, doing that exercise to communication. And also it's that whole thing of that, how do you communicate when you're relaxed or when you're under stress? So that was like a great insight. So you're talking about how your team works together and what you learned from the training, and about culture, how it's brought about culture. I think I remember a conversation with you where you started talking about purpose and whether... Can you tell me more about what that purpose means to you? I think about the big P and the small P.
You know, at Copperfield, or within the charity especially, organisations do have a really strong sense of purpose. And lots of us within Copperfield are driven perhaps by personal motivations. You know, we want to make a difference. We want to improve outcomes for people. Perhaps we know people that have been affected by breast cancer. So that drive is really, really strong there to make a difference, not only for the people that we know within our smaller community, but also for the future, ultimately, to achieve better outcomes for people who might be affected by breast cancer in the days and years to come. So there's a lot of drive. And interestingly, what comes with that, or can come with that, is then burnout. People push themselves so, so hard. So interestingly, at Copperfield, what we've really had to think about is, you know, we have that really strong sense of purpose organisationally, but making sure we also create boundaries and we support the team and we have that support in place for people to make sure that we're not burning ourselves out and we're taking a longer term view in order to achieve that goal, achieve that purpose for our audience and for our beneficiaries.
Okay. So I'm going to tap you a little bit more, because I know that at the conference you talked about there was the big purpose and then there was the little purpose. So is that evidently clear? What is the big, what is the small? How would you define it?
So, yeah, the big purpose is ultimately ensuring that all breast cancers are diagnosed earlier. It's a massive purpose. It's a massive mission. It's huge. But the reason we do that is because we want people to live, you know, a full, happy, healthy life. And the way that we try and bring that into the small P, the smaller purpose, is by bringing that fun, that bit of joy to everything that we do. And we try and build that into absolutely every touch point that we have at Copperfield. You know, you might be working on a project and you can add that little bit of fun or interest or make it, yeah, just a little bit more engaging perhaps. And I think that's very much part of the ethos here at Copperfield. Again, that's largely inspired by our founder, who kind of had a term around kind of like glittering a turd or sprinkling of glitter. And I think we really try to apply that glitter at Copperfield. you know, to everything that we do.
Yes, I did. I loved that. And you said just a sprinkle of glitter and everything, you know, and that's what we're about, bringing the joy.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you give us some examples of the, of things you've done from the course, like, say, pre-approval or coaching or things like that?
Pre-approval has been a massive one, and it's really changed how we work. I think pre-approval, we've been able to implement a Copperfield to give people more agency, more ownership in their roles. And that has been not only a cultural shift, but also a process shift. Because I think initially we tried to do lots of things culturally to implement pre-approval. So we did things like, you know, we changed our employee handbook and we updated all of our banding within the organization to really make it clear authorization levels and what people do or don't have authority over. But what we realized is that people needed support putting that into practice. Our kind of ways of working didn't necessarily facilitate the pre-approval. So there have been lots of things then in terms of like project management where we have, you know, used the RACI kind of process. So it's really, really clear then who has got ownership, who's driving a project forward, but ultimately who is completely accountable, who might need to be informed, who might be supporting. That has all been made really, really clear. I guess the other thing that we learned through the implementation and our team needed a bit more support on was understanding that line managers are still available to you and they're available to support. So as much as we want people to feel empowered and to have that freedom, they can still rely on the support of line managers if they want. So it's that reassurance of knowing that someone is still available if they do want to sound things out, but equally making it clear that if someone is ready to go, they have the freedom to deliver and make decisions.
Absolutely, absolutely. And do your line managers work as coaches?
Yes, we've done quite a lot of work with you at Happy around, well, again, it was around the multiplier. So I think the coaching component of that was really, really important. So the pre-approval coaching, those two kind of trainings really supported one another to allow us organisationally to build multipliers. And again, it ties into the pre-approval training because coaching is, as you know, it's about supporting someone to find their own way, and solution, as opposed to giving answers, directing, solving problems, which I think perhaps as a, you know, as a slightly smaller charity at the time, we were really guilty of, you know, managers coming in and sweeping things up and kind of coming to rescue, like rescuer kind of mentality. Really moved, or we've tried to move away from that as much as we can. So supporting the team to get to the right answers.
Excellent, excellent.
So again, it's interesting where you're talking about how you're empowering your staff to get to the right solutions. Can you share a story? Because I shared this at the conference about the four-day week, how you got your team to help with the solution around that.
Yeah, that was so, this is still really super interesting for me, the kind of work we did around 4 day week. And I remember we were doing the change management training with Happy at the time of looking at the 4 day week solution. So for context, at the time, it was still the kind of weird hybrid working days post pandemic. Copperfield hadn't quite settled into a regular working rhythm. And we were really exploring, you know, how we were going to work organizationally now that we weren't stuck to the confines of, you know, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday in the office. And we had heard, and I had heard lots of conversation about the impact and the positive benefits of the 4 day week. And that kind of working style and that ethos really aligned with what we stand for at Copperfield. So we started exploring it as an organization and we decided to run the idea past the team. And interestingly, my expectation was people would be absolutely thrilled. They would love it. Absolutely. Let's do it. No, didn't have to give it any thought. But we got quite mixed feedback. People didn't feel it was quite right. Perhaps they weren't confident in that approach working and them being able to do their day job within the kind of 4 days a week. There was also some stuff around trust, people thinking that, oh no, am I, you know, if I don't work that fifth day, am I going to get in trouble with my line manager? Are they saying I can do 4 days? days, but really the expectation is I should be doing 5. So there was a lot of nervousness around it. And so we did quite a lot of staff surveys at that time to garner feedback. And what we got to in the end was a 9-day fortnight. People felt comfortable that they would be able to access that day off and it'd be beneficial and it not create more stress and they could still do their job, but they would still benefit from the increased flexibility and that time outside of work. So we're still doing that at Copperfield. We're still doing currently the 9-day fortnights, but we have been in constant consultation with the team, you know, getting feedback if it's working for people. And I think the positive thing is that the team feel really, really good about it. Again, it's now very much ingrained in the culture. And I think most of the team do access it. They do use it regularly and therefore they're able to benefit from it. So
mm-hmm. Great.
Do you do it?
I do it. Yes. Yeah, I think it's important. Well, because of the trust piece around the 4-day week when people were kind of saying, oh, we're worried that we're being told we can work 4 days, but is the expectation really there that we should be doing 5? If I'm not modelling that behaviour, the trust isn't going to be there. And I think it would create nervousness if I were working every Friday. People would start to think that the expectation is, you know, there for them to be doing the same.
At the conference, you said that you stepped back from the 4-day week, didn't you? You stepped back and enabled other people to do the 9-day fortnight.
That's right. Yeah. So when we first started exploring the idea of the four-day working week and people were concerned about it, we then started to look at a number of different options and iterations and ways of doing an equivalent, basically, for Copperfield. And so the 9-day fortnight was based upon a staff vote with what the team felt comfortable with.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So the team very much created 9-day fortnight. That came from staff surveys and feedback.
So it's really interesting because I think that's a great example of, like what you said, that you've come up with a great idea and thinking that everybody's just going to fall in line with it and be cheering it on.
Yeah.
But in fact, it was quite the opposite.
I know. Again, because I remember doing the change management training and the kind of looking at the process that the team go through with change. And even when it's quote unquote positive change, people do need to go on that journey and understand where it came from. And I think because there was that level of skepticism and perhaps there wasn't that complete buy-in in terms of how the 4-day working week would look at Copperfield, there was that nervousness about it, and so it wasn't as positively received as I was hoping. But we've got to a great middle ground, a great solution that has been very much led by the team. And you know, in terms of how it was implemented and how we deliver it, that was very much all led by Copperfield staff. And it feels quite good actually that we've came up with a solution that has been led by the collective rather than something I've just come up with on my own and then have to be fully
absolutely
accountable for it. Yeah. Yeah. So we've all had an equal vote in it, and it's down to all of us to make it work. And we will continue to evolve it, I think. You know, it's not fixed. Hopefully we can make improvements and refresh it based upon the organisation's needs and individuals' needs down the line.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one of the things that we do in our programmes is get people to play to their strengths. Now, I think you've done quite a lot around that, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm trying to. We're trying to do more of that at Copperfield. Absolutely. Absolutely makes sense, doesn't it, really, when you hear it. And the thing that was really interesting with the strengths training, I remember, is the things that are your strengths, you may not even necessarily identify because they come so easily to you. And that was really eye-opening for the team at Copperfield, because you perhaps when something's your strength, you just take it for granted and you assume, oh, everyone must be good at this. So actually starting to map what the team's strengths were not only was useful from an organisational perspective to understand, you know, where people might be able to distribute work or who may be able to work on certain projects, but also to build confidence. You know, you could say, right, you and this team, you're really great at this. This is really unique here and it really contributes. It was so valuable.
Can you share a story of where you found that the strengths has worked really, really well? You know, where you had to actually turn to looking at someone's strength.
Yeah, Copperfield, in the time since we've done the training, our way of working has really shifted. first, we've grown, but also because of the learnings generated from the training. So the piece around pre-approval and giving people agency in their areas, it shifted how we work because we work way more collaboratively now. Because we have the RACI as part of our process, it means that rather than individuals kind of running projects largely on their own, you kind of think a bit more about a project team up front, like who are the people I want to bring into this? And as a result, before you even start working on a project, you're thinking about those stakeholders who are going to be able to contribute. I think an area where we've really seen this, where we're trying to use it more, is any kind of cross-departmental projects. So we've had a couple of things going on in organization. We're looking at a new CRM, for example, which easily could just sit with IT and they make all of the decisions on their own. And at the end of it, we get the new database. Instead, we've really looked at, firstly, the people that are really great with data, with databases, with segmentation. We've identified those individuals and they're involved. They're going to be informing the process. Then we thought about who are going to be the users, like who are the people that are actually going to be using this tool moving forward. We'll bring them into the process. Then we've started to think about, right, within this project, what do we need? We need momentum. So we've brought in someone into the team who gets things done quickly, wouldn't normally be their area, but they are a driver and they make things happen. So they are also involved.
Brilliant.
And when we're working on projects now, we do very much think about what the project needs as opposed to what department something sits in.
And that's a great example, you know, because, you know, yeah, most people will just stick to, well, IT can do it, but using all the strengths,
yeah,
that's, you know, you hit the ground running with that tool. So really well done.
So Natalie, what are your three tips for a happy workplace?
Oh, this was hard, three tips. I've got many.
Okay.
So I think the things that I've come down to, these are quite big themes. The first thing is around finding your why. That really resonated with me in the training, and more into your point around like big P and small P. I think that's so, so true. But for people to understand the impact of their contribution. So even at Copperfield, we know that our purpose organisationally is, you know, so, so important. It's life-saving, which is massive. But how can you make something like the database? How can you, for those people to feel like, oh, we're having an impact, we're really contributing. It's really important that that purpose feeds into absolutely everything that we do. And I really think that we do that well at Copperfield, for people to really, really understand that each and every little cog is an important driver to helping us ensure that all breast cancers are diagnosed early. So that would be my first one.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
My second is around belonging.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Belonging and building and community. I think, again, we do this really, really well at Copperfield, but it's a really important one for me, building that connection, people to feel like they belong at Copperfield, they feel included. So all of our EDI work ties into this also, but it goes beyond that. And I want the team to know that, you know, at Copperfield, we care about them. We can care about their concerns outside of work, and they have a place here also. Yes. So we really think about each individual holistically, not just how they show up in the office. You know, that interconnection between, you know, what we do at work and who we are outside of work, and, you know, mental health and well-being, work-life balance, times for bringing people together in celebration, all of that. It's really, really important to me. But I would describe it as belonging. I think that's the second one for me.
And number three?
My third one, which I have talked a little bit about, but is autonomy.
Yes.
And this shows up in a few different ways, but we've got quite a young team at Copperfield. We're a growing charity and there's lots of opportunity. People here are really ambitious and want to make a change. And I want people to have that agency in their role, however that shows up, to come in and be their best and accomplish what they want to accomplish and have the tools and resources to do so, however that shows up for them. That may be, you know, within their role. It might be in how they create a kind of happy setup for themselves at work as well, like being able to have that input into how we do things at Copperfield. They have the freedom and the power to do that as well.
Okay.
Excellent. Excellent. Three very good tips.
Thank you.
Okay, but one more thing. One more thing for me, Natalie.
Well, one more.
One more, because we asked you about the three tips for the workplace. What I would love to know is one thing that gives you joy, whether it's in the workplace or outside work.
Oh, well, in the workplace, this is super. I just feel so fortunate that I get to work with such incredible people. It ties into that point around belonging, but the community at Copperfield, both within the team and more broadly, is phenomenal. And I feel so lucky that I get to be a part of people's lives, and it drives me so much in my work. It is really inspiring. I know lots of people hate that word, but the things that when the Copperfield community accomplish, getting to be witness to that is just phenomenal. So yeah, I feel very fortunate that I get to be a part of that in my role.
Fantastic. Excellent. I feel that. I feel it as you say it. It's awesome.
Yes. Well, thank you, Natalie. That was fabulous.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much. That was so much fun. Thank you. And thank you so much. Copperfield would not be the organisation that it is without all of your amazing training and support.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Maureen, what did you think of that?
Do you know what? I love Copperfield. You know, even the name says it all, doesn't it? But so that's what he does on the tin. But Natalie's fantastic, fantastic. There was so much in that conversation, you know.
Yeah.
I think what really touched my heart when she started talking about in the three tips, belonging mm-hmm. and building connections, you know,
yes.
the importance of the team, then it's not just at the point of them just turning up at work, but it's about having concern for them inside and outside of work. And the way she just said that they have a place here, it's like, well, that's somewhere that you want to be, you know, where you're valued. So totally love that.
Yes.
What came up for you?
I love the way they've put into practice everything that we teach at Happy, how they've put into practice the coaching, the pre-approval, the strengths, the communication styles, all that kind of thing. And it's clearly done very well for them.
That's it. It works.
It works, doesn't it?
It works. It makes a difference. So it's really good, you know. And it's not something that they have to sprinkle glitter, because it is glitter.
Yes. It is. And I just love her expressive character, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't it?
Beautiful energy. Beautiful energy,
yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was really funny, again, just hearing back on that story about the four-day week when it's and how Natty realised that actually it was her idea and she needed to go back to the team. And they are the ones that put together how they wanted to work.
Indeed, indeed.
Powerful,
absolutely.
Really powerful.
Yes. So check out happy.co.uk. Their programmes were the 4-day flagship Happy Leadership programmes.
It's all there. Just go check us out, you know, and keep on creating joy at work.
Absolutely.